Open your Bibles here this morning, Ephesians chapter 2. The title of my message here this morning is The God of Great Grace, the God of Great Grace, Ephesians chapter 2 here this morning. Ephesians 2:1 says, And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. And Father, I thank you that you are Almighty God. And Father, I thank you that you alone deserve the glory and honor and praise for everything that's done. And Father, this morning, as we look into your word, I pray you would guide our thoughts. Help me be a vessel that honors your Son and your word and advances your kingdom. And Lord, I pray that you would bring glory and honor to yourself. And I pray, Lord, that you would use this message to bless the saints of God and encourage the sinners to come close to thee in repentance and faith in Christ. So, Lord, bless us and bless our time around your word. And, Father, I thank you that you alone are God and there is no other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some years ago, there was a fellow by the name of Henry Morehouse, and he was actually a minister of the gospel. And this was some years ago in the late 1800s. He was walking down the street, and he saw this little boy walk out of a store carrying a pitcher of milk. And this little boy made his way up the street. The little boy's like 5 or 6 years old, just making his way up the street. And as he was walking, he stumbled and fell, and the pitcher hit the sidewalk and just smashed into a lot of pieces, and all the milk went out, and the little boy just started crying. And so Harry Morehouse just went over to the young boy and said, "Are you okay? Did you hurt yourself?" He said, "No, I'm fine." But he looked up at Harry and he goes, "My mama's going to whip me. My mama's going to whip me. My mama's going to whip." He just kept saying that over and over. And he felt so sad. And the little boy started trying to put the picture back together again. And so Harry just sat down beside him. He saw it comforting. He stopped crying when he started doing that. So he kind of put a few pieces for him. And as he got the handle there, it all fell apart again. Then he just started wailing again. And so Harry just looked at this situation. He picked the little boy up. He walked into the store. And he said, "Sir, do you have a pitcher I could buy?" And I said, "Yes, I do. Can you fill this up with milk for me?" So, "Yes, I can." So he filled it up, and he carried the little boy under his arm. And the other hand, he had the pitcher of milk and a new pitcher, and went to the doorstep where the young boy lived, took him back home, set the boy down, and he set the pitcher beside him. And he said, "Now, young man, you take this to your mama, but I have a question for you. Is your mama going to whip you now?" He said, through his tear-stained cheeks, he goes, "No, sir, this picture's better than the picture I had before. My mama's not going to whip me now." Okay, now, I want you to think about that for a minute. Did that little boy deserve anything? No. Did Harry Morehouse have to go out of his way to help that little boy? He didn't have to, but he did. Why did he help that little boy? Because he felt compassion for him, and he felt love for him. And he was very gracious to him because that little boy didn't deserve anything. And yet he took his time to help that little boy out. Now, we as human beings, can we help one another out? We can. But there's a God in heaven that helps us out too. And in our lives, sometimes we're like that pitcher that is smashed and hits the sidewalk and busts into 1,000 pieces. And we try to put it back together again. We start gathering the pieces and we get some comfort to ourselves because we're putting it back together. But then after a while, we realize it just crumbles all again. And you know what God does? He comes by and picks us up and he gets us a new picture, so to speak, a new man in Christ. He takes the old one and sets it aside. That's broken. But he creates a new one in Christ. That's a new man in Christ. And then he fills us up, not with milk, but what does he fill us up with? The Holy Spirit. That's God's grace working through us. And in this passage here, look at Ephesians chapter 2, and dealing with the great grace of God, and you he made alive. Is that a new man? He made you alive in Christ, a new person. He gave you a new hope, a new focus, a new future, a new deliverance. He gave you eternal home in heaven. He gave you life in Christ. Because you he made alive, that was a grace of act of God. He picked us off the sidewalk of life when we have fallen down and smashed our picture of life, so to speak. And he picks us back up. And he makes us alive again. He gives us new life in Christ. But what's the problem that we have? He made us alive, but our past was what? Who were what? Dead in trespasses and sin. That's our past. That's our past. Our past condition before salvation by grace. That is our past condition before we were dead in trespasses and sin. So how do you look toward, what does it mean to be dead? What does it mean to be dead? Well, to be dead means you're very unresponsive. Would that be a true statement? If you're dead, you are not responsive. Is that true? Okay, you're not responsive by, now, I remember our granddaughter Ava one time was trying to make her, wake her mom up, and she said, Christiana was sleeping, so Ava went over and said, hello, and tried to open her eyes up. You know, anybody in there? You know, trying to wake her up. If for a dead person, they're not going to open their eyes. They're not going to respond. I remember the first dead person I ever saw. I don't want to get too graphic here, but I just remember his chest did not move. It was just still. And I kept watching him to see if it would go up and down, but it didn't, because there's no life there. There's no life. And when you're dead, there's no response. Now, when it says you're dead in trespasses and sin, that is being spiritually dead to God. A spiritually dead person is totally unresponsive to the things of God. They are self-focused. They think about the things that minister to them. They have no understanding of the things of God. Now, when you're dead in trespasses and sin, does that mean a unsaved person can never do any good works or do anything to be nice to their neighbor? No, that's not saying that. Because we're made in the image of God, we still have the capacity to do good. But Jesus said it this way, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. So can an evil person give good gifts to their children? Sure they can. But that's not what it's talking about here when it says dead and trespassing. It doesn't mean that you can't do any good things. It just means that you are totally dead towards spiritual things, and you have no relationship with God through his Son. Now, a dead person is unresponsive completely, and we can't do anything to revive our condition. Jesus said, in order for us not to be dead in trespass and sin, in John chapter 3, he said, you must be born what? Again. You must be. It doesn't say if you want to, or it'd be a good thing for you to do, or if you feel like it one day. It says you must be born again, because if you're not born again, you are spiritually dead toward God. You're still in your trespasses and sins. And if a person would say, well, I know I've really messed up in my life in the past, but from this day forward, I want to live a good moral life and do what's right. Well, that sounds good, but there's a problem. Suppose you had opened a credit card account and you had charged some things at a store and you owed them, say, like $500 and some dollars for your purchases. But you just decided one day, well, moving forward, I'm not going to pay what I borrowed in the past. I'm just going to start paying everything moving forward, paying him off. Well, how would the store merchant feel? You can pay him everything off from day four, but if you're not paying your past debts, he's not going to be very happy with you because you owe him. And just because you try to turn over a new leaf in life, what about everything you've done in the past? Where are your trespasses and sins? We need to be honest with ourselves. There's a man one time, he's filling out a job application. And one of the questions he came upon was, have you ever been arrested? And he answered, no. And the next question was, why? And that why question was meant, if you'd answered yes, why were you arrested? Well, he looked at the why, and he said, this is what he wrote down. Never got caught. That's what he wrote down. Okay, now, just because you never got caught doesn't mean you didn't break God's laws. Do you know what I'm saying? Just because a policeman wasn't standing there watching you do what you do doesn't mean what you did wasn't noticed by God. And that's how some of us kind of think here. Just because I'm not caught doesn't mean that makes me not guilty. No, you're still guilty whether you got caught or not. And what are you going to do with your sin? Well, what did Adam do with his sin? He tried to blame who? Eve. And Eve tried to blame who? The serpent. Yeah, the snake. See, that's the way we do sometimes. It's not me, it's the other guy. We can try to blame others, but when it comes down to it, who does God hold us responsible? He holds us responsible. So blaming doesn't work. You can blame others, or you can try to hide your sin. But Moses said in Deuteronomy, behold, your sin will what? Find you out. So you can't really hide your sin. In Proverbs, it says that those that confess their sins, happy are you. So you can blame others or you can try to hide it. But the best thing to do is what? Confess it. And when you confess your sins and realize that you are dead in trespasses and sins, that God knows who you are, where you've been, what you've done, you come to a point of brokenness. You made alive. If you want to be made alive in Christ, if you want to be saved, you got to come to the point where you realize you're dead in trespasses and sin. Now, turn to Psalm 51 here for a moment. And I want to look at the very first verse of Psalm 51. This is a confession here of David. And I want you to see how he cried out to God here because he was dead in trespasses and sin, so to speak. His sins had caught up with him. He said, in brokenness, see, a person that's broken realizes they're a sinner. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my what? Transgressions. Now, David's thinking about everything. Now, what did David do there? Well, Bathsheba, you know, committed adultery with Uriah, he killed. Then he tried to hide his sin. And for a whole year, he hid his sin. He was most miserable. And where did his spiritual renewal come from? He cried out to God, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. He appealed to the nature, the loving kindness, the grace of God. And that's our condition. We're dead in trespasses and sin. Now, it depends on standards. See, some people think they're doing pretty good, but what is your standard? Now, the Bible, the Word of God, the law helps us to see that we're a lawbreaker. Give me one of the laws and the commandments. Give me anything.
Thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not kill. Okay. So thou shalt not kill, that is like right there. If you are a murderer, then you have broken that commandment. Thou shalt not kill. Now, a mirror helps you see what you see. And a man told this a few weeks ago. He said, when I look in the mirror, I just wonder who that old man is looking back at me. That's what he told me. You know, he said, how did I ever get here? He said, I just see this old man looking back at me. And that all mirror can do is just show you who you are. Can that mirror make you look better? Change your looks? The mirror can't do it. You may spend hours with makeup and all kinds of helping you look better, but that mirror can't help you. It just shows you what you are. And that's what God's Word does. It just shows you who you are. And there was a story one time that this fella immigrated from Europe, and he did well in America. He worked hard, saved a lot of money, and he bought a yacht one time. And he didn't know anything about boating, but he was wealthy and he had the money, so he bought a yacht. He had to hire a captain for his yacht. And on the maiden voyage, he got dressed up in a captain's uniform, had his hat on and all his little things. And he was the captain, but he didn't know anything about boats. He didn't know anything about being captain, but he was the captain. And on his maiden voyage, he brought his mom over from Europe so she could sail on his new yacht. And he stood there proud as can be and said, Mom, I'm the captain of the ship. Well, do moms ever speak truth to you sometimes? And she looked at her son. She knew he didn't know anything about boats or anything about the water and oceans and she looked, she said, in her mother way, she goes, son, in my eyes, you're the captain of the ship. In your eyes, you're the captain of the ship. But in other captains' eyes, you are no captain of the ship. Is that a good way for a mom to say that? That's how she told him. And see, sometimes we can think we're doing pretty good, but what's our standard we're up against? How do we compare ourselves? And if you think you're not dead in trespasses and sins, well, you haven't compared yourself to Almighty God. Because God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. To fall short of God's glory, I mean, we got to be just, is God glorious? Is he high and lifted up? He is high of the highest. That's our standard. That's who we compare ourselves to. And what we don't want to do is compare ourselves to a false standard, because then we feel pretty good about ourselves. Verse 1 of chapter 2, and you he made alive who are dead in trespasses and sins. Now, what is our old sin nature like, in which you walked according to the course of this world? You thought like the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who might that be, the prince and power of the air? Satan. You're thinking like Satan thinks. See, an unsaved person, they want to fit into the world. The prince and power of the air, Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, that they have, unsaved people do not have the Holy Spirit to help them resist the lies of Satan and the ways of Satan and the philosophies of this world. The prince and power there, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as others. Do you know any children of wrath? Do you know any unsaved people that just live and do what they want to do? That's the unsaved people. But for us that know God and you, he made alive. That's God's grace. What is our past like? That's how we were before we got saved. And it's a miracle we got saved. When we get saved, it's a miracle and a blessing of God in our lives. And Donald Gray Barnhouse shared this story here when he was a teenager. He said he went to a rescue mission in Los Angeles, Donald Gray Barnhouse did, when he was a young man. And he said he listened to the testimony of the men with criminal records. The first said he'd been in prison 3 times and lived a life of sin. The next had been in prison 4 times and had sinned even more. The third man got up and said he had had 6 imprisonments and added alcohol and drugs more than the first 2 mentioned. And Donald Gray Barnhouse sat there. He goes, he was just feeling uneasy because he felt like these men were just bragging on their sins. Exhibitionists. And he said, he felt if the man who had first testified waited until, if he had gone after the third man, he might have remembered a few more convictions he might have found to blacken his testimony. Donald Gray Barnhouse said he stood up. All these men were up there. He finally just stood up and he said, hey, I got a testimony better than all yours. And he said, you could have heard a pin drop in that room. Because he said, I was a youngster. He said, I didn't have any beard on. He said, I looked like a youth. And all these hardened criminals just turned their head and looked at me like, you got a testimony more than that guy? And this is what Donald Gray Barnhouse said after that intense silence. And they looked at him. And then he said, I have a testimony greater than any of y'all. He said, I was able to say that Jesus Christ had saved me from all those horrors. He said, I lived a life that I had God's grace in my life that kept me from going down that road of sin. And Donald Gray Barnhouse said, that's a greater testimony of God's grace than you falling into sin. And Donald Gray Barnhouse said, he looked back at one of the old men there in prison, and that old man just burst into tears. And Donald Gray Barnhouse said, he thought in his heart, you know, he's probably thinking about his youth that he wasted and how he lived. And and you he made alive. Are you saved here today? Has God been gracious to you? Has God kept you from a life that may have gone the wrong way? Is that a gracious, if you are raised in a Christian home, is that a gracious thing that God did to you? And you he made alive who are dead in trespasses and sins, and once you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air. And Donald Gray Barnhouse had this story. Look in verse 4. What are those first two words there in verse 4? But God. Those are powerful words because we once were sons of disobedience. And then one day, God came into our life, but God. And if you're saved, you have a but God story to tell others. A but God story. I was this, and now I'm this because God came into my life. And we have that but God story to share. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead and trespassed, spiritually dead, no life in us, no relationship with God, made us alive together with Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection gave me new life because he was victorious over sins. He saved me from my sins. He gave me his righteousness. He took my sin. I took his righteousness. Made alive together with Christ by grace, you have been what? Saved. Is that a blessing? Is that something to shout and tell people about? The grace of God that's been in my life, that he has given to me and has saved me from my sins. That is a great blessing for us as God's people, that we have been saved from our sins. And it's all done by who? Jesus Christ. He raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. We're thinking God's thoughts now. We're thinking about heavenly thoughts. We're thinking about things of a spiritual nature. We're thinking about the Word of God. We're thinking about things that belong to Christ. He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. We're having that fellowship. We're having that communion with Christ. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness in Christ Jesus. Now, there's coming a day, if you're saved, and you're going to be with the thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands and millions upon millions that were all gathered around the Lamb. And what are we doing? Praising God, worthy is the Lamb. Is that going to be a great day? We're gathered around the Lamb and praising him, and he has saved us and redeemed us, and worthy is the Lamb. And we are blessed people to know we have what? A future now. We have a future now in Christ Jesus our Lord, that in the ages to come, when we're gathered around that throne and worshiping the Lamb of God, worshiping Jesus Christ, that we're going to think about the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We're broken people, and God came and just picked us up by his grace. Now, it's not because you have any merit in yourself. It's because God had grace in himself that he saved us from our sins. Does that make sense? We're not worthy. We're not worthy for him to save us. But he loved us and cared about us and sent his son. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, he sent his son to die for us. Now, our present condition after salvation, Jesus Christ is in our life. Now, our present calling because of salvation, what is our calling because of salvation? Look at verse 9 here. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. We're not working to gain salvation. But we are his workmanship. God's working in our life, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good what? Good works. Now, my good works don't save me. How I live my life doesn't save me, but it shows I am saved. I'm not working, I'm not doing good things to be saved, but because I am saved, I want to have good work for him, which God prepare beforehand that we should walk in them. So how? Our past, we're dead in trespasses and sins. Our condition, but God rich in mercy. Our calling is we are his workmanship created in for good works. God wants us to live for him now. And Sometimes their spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And there's a little girl one time. She was mean to her little brother. And the little brother went to mom crying. And the mom heard what happened, went to the little girl and said, "Mary, why have you let Satan put in your heart to pull your brother's hair and to kick him in his shins?" And the little girl thought it over for a minute and then answered, said, "Well, maybe Satan did put it in my heart to pull his hair, but kicking him in the shin was my own idea." And do you have a sin nature that won't let you go? Do you know what I'm saying? And now we're saved, and we want to have good works, but that old sin nature kind of kicks up sometimes, doesn't it? And what do? We crucify the flesh, what? Anew. We put it to death. We don't let sin reign in our mortal bodies, but we let Jesus Christ reign in our mortal bodies because we are his workmanship. God wants us to be like him. For by grace, okay, you're saved. God's unmerited favor. He's been good to you. You have been saved. You belong to him. You're a Christian. Verse 8, through faith, I believe on him. I trust him. It's not on myself. It's not the things I've done. It is a gift of God. And what do you have to do to get a gift? You have to just receive it. It's a gift's been what? Bought? Paid for? And what do you have to do to get it? Just receive it. It's the gift of God. You've been saved through faith, not yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We're his workmanship. God's working in our life to help us be more like him. Now, we got a week ahead of us. Are you still in your sins? Are you dead in your sins and trust? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Have you asked Jesus Christ? Is there a point in your life where you know that you are saved? You've asked him into your life. You know God. That's the first thing. You don't want to be dead in trespasses and sins, be without Christ, but you want to be saved. If you are saved, look at verse 4. But who but God is rich in mercy? That should cause you to be thankful to God for what he's done in your life. All the gracious ways God has been rich in mercy because of his great love in which he loved us. He loved you. He loved me because he's God. He's the eternal God. And we thank him for that. And we're grateful for him, for what he's done for us. And because we have our but God story, we want to live to please him and to honor him. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We want to do things that honor God and not dishonor him because we have that but God story in our life. There's a week ahead of you. This week could be a great week. If you're not saved, get saved. If you are saved, be thankful that you're saved. And if you are saved, do those things that honor God in your life and be strong in him. Well, let's pray here. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this moment that we can look at Ephesians chapter 2 and the grace of God that you've given to us. And you alone are God and there is no other. And we're thankful for the grace that Jesus Christ brought to us by his death, burial, and resurrection. And Lord, you spared not your own son, but you gave him up freely for us all, that through him we might have eternal life. So, Father, thank you for the gift of God. And, Lord, because we are your workmanship, help us be careful to honor you in all that we do, because we're called by your name. And, Father, we pray that this week we'd live for you and honor you and give our lives to you. And, Lord, that we might be full of the Spirit of God, to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So, Lord, help us toward this end. And Lord, thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving each of us that know you a but God story. And Father, may we, as your people, walk in the light as you're in the light and have fellowship and communion with you through Jesus Christ. So bless us toward this end. We thank you for our faithful God. We thank you for the grace of God that sustains us and encourages us. In Jesus' name we pray.